Right, well, now it's time to welcome my guest, Karen Bowman, who's author of numerous short stories, articles, and hot on the heels of her recent book, Essex Girls, has come Essex Boys. So, hello and welcome, Karen.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
Not at all, I'm glad you could get through.
We need to
get you a little bit closer into that mic, I'm afraid. There we are. That's more like it. Yes, it was fun, wasn't it?
It was. Well, no, it wasn't. I definitely not. No, it's very nerve-wracking. But I'm glad to be here now, so...
Good stuff. Now, Karen, you're not an Essex girl by birth, are you?
No, I'm only 90% Essex, I suppose. I was born in London, actually, right. In Hackney, lovely Hackney. And I came down here with my parents in 1967, a long time ago.
I've been here ever since.
So I'm an adoptive Essex girl.
And when did you start writing?
Well, I'd like to say something clever like, oh, it came to me one day, but no, it's always been there, and I've always scribbled and I've always written bits and pieces. Mm. I found the more I wrote, the more I got curious about history.
Yeah.
Because I can be quite nosy, really, and it's that what gets me into all the little nooks and crannies of history. And I suppose when I was younger and the children were small, I'd write when they went to bed. I have got a couple of novels under the bed or up in the loft somewhere, which I'll get out one day.
Which you're going to publish?
Fingers crossed. Yes, I've got a couple of projects, and then I'm going to get into fiction, hopefully.
But now you write full time.
I do, yes. Well, I have the opportunity to write full time. I suppose I started really sort of about 1994, 95.
Yeah.
I was working at a school, and then my husband took early retirement and said, why don't you, lovely man, why don't you retire too?
So I said, yes,
please.
Yes,
he's sitting right next to me. Unfortunately, he's gone back to work and I haven't. And it gave me the chance to get on with Essex Girls, which were sort of coming along slowly by then.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to get published?
Not overnight.
No.
I started writing articles in earnest, and I think the first one came out about 2002.
Yeah.
Essex Girls came out 2010, so that's 10 years of doing everything else but. And I didn't actually deeply believe Essex Girls would come out. It was like a hobby, but deep down I'm thinking maybe. And then it gets to a point where you've almost written it and you get excited about it, and you push it and you see if someone will take it. I sent it off to someone who had encouraged me quite a lot all the way along, and then when I actually sent it to them, they said, no, get some real Essex Girls, we're not interested. And I was devastated, but I picked myself up, dusted myself off.
But they were real Essex Girls, weren't they?
Well, yes. I think it's because there's a mixture. There's some that you do know and some that you don't know, some sort of forgotten Essex women. And I didn't think it was probably, they thought it was commercial enough. So, but the second one I sent it to did take it, and here I am today.
Now, it's not about your average Essex girl famed in the jokes, is it? Who have you actually got in the book? What sort of people?
Oh, well, it all came about because I wrote an article for Essex Life and Countryside called Romantic Essex Girls.
Yeah.
And while I was sort of doing that, and while I was going around with a fellow, with a colleague of mine, I don't know if you might have interviewed him on this programme, Robert Holman. He's got a book out at the moment, but he's really famous for his photography.
Yes.
And he was going around doing photography in Essex, and he said to me, you know, if you want to write articles, I'll photograph them for you. So that's what we did for a while. And I found that going around churches and churchyards and different places, I was picking up all these things about women. One woman in particular, a woman called Bridget Peck, died when she was 30. And there's a huge monument to her in one of the churches. And her husband waxed lyrical about her, saying how beautiful and how fruitful she was. Mm. And she died at 30. And it just struck me that she'd had 10 children by the time she was 30. So I reckoned it was this fruitfulness that finished her off. Mm. So I thought, yes, I'll write about just women being women and what they had to put up with, you know, through history, which wasn't very good at times, I have to say.
Well, I know you've got quite a few that are very well-known people, but you also have people less known. Like, for example, I think you've got Mary Ellis, her gravestone, I think that's known as the Cutler Stone.
The Cutler Stone, yes.
That's in St. Clement's
Churchyard.
Churchyard, yeah.
Yes, she was... I think she was about 119 when she died, but she's famous for being a virgin. She sort of didn't do anything she shouldn't have done. And so she's there. And as you say, it's the cutlass stone on the top, yes, where it's said that press gangs would come and sharpen their cutlasses, waiting, yes, for the men to come out of the church so they could nab them.
And you've also got some much more famous people as well.
Yes, I sort of capitalised on the Essex Girls title. I didn't want to call it Essex Women in History. And I thought to get people to read it, pick it up, that I'd use some famous women. So I've got Elizabeth I, and she did many progresses into Essex and basically bankrupted everybody she stayed with and all the palaver that used to go with that.
Yes.
I've also got a lady called Anne Carter, who I found when I was actually peeling potatoes watching the telly, not in the lounge, I was in the kitchen at the time, but I could see the telly and this thing came up and said, Anne Carter from Malden.
Yes.
She was just an ordinary woman who was going through some really bad times with the rest of her families and the townspeople. And she actually led a grain riot because they were so hungry.
Yes.
But they made an example of her and hung her. And I sort of went into the details of that, and that's quite interesting.
And talking about potatoes, then, that's why you've got Elizabeth Fry as well.
I'll give you that one.
Thank you very much. I've taken it. So how long did it take you to complete all of this?
As I say, 10 years. It wasn't sort of the writing of it. I think when I got the bit between my teeth, it took about 2 or 3 years to actually knock it into shape. Being my first book, I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. Essex Boys, it's taken a lot less time to write, and this third one, even less time.
And again, of course, the Essex Boys is also about a host of some very well-known and some lesser-known people from Essex, yes?
Yes. The thing I wanted to do with Essex Boys is after writing the girls, I thought Essex Boys has got to follow. I wanted a pigeon pair.
Yeah.
Part of this came from when I was working at the school. I found that a lot of pupils would come in, sort of the young pupils, year sevens, would come in and say, we've got to do a project on Essex. What can I do? Mm. And a lot of the boys managed to find racing drivers or something like that, and the girls just didn't have anything. So I thought, well, there's some fantastic, gutsy, courageous women out there,
yes,
not just the Towie type. And I thought they need to be put together.
The Towie type?
The Towie type.
Are they courageous? Yeah. Well,
so I thought I'd put them all in a book, and luckily there are 4 copies in that particular school. It was the Fitzwymark School in Rayleigh that I went to myself, and that's something I'm very proud of. And hopefully they use it, and it helps them get along. But as I say, it needed Essex Boys. It's followed in the same footsteps.
Yes.
It's the same layouts, it's the very same cover. I'm delighted with it. But when I actually finished it, I realised it was a totally different book. And I'm pleased about that. But that only came out through the writing.
When you say it's totally different, how different?
Totally different in as much that Essex women, or women in general through the ages, had no rights whatsoever. You belong to your father, and then you belong to your husband, and everything that went in between. I mean, until 1860s, when the divorce laws came in, we didn't even own our own children. They could be taken away from us. So I found with the boys, it all came down to that old adage of education. I know it's the wrong thing to say sometimes, but boys were basically allowed to have an opinion. Whether they went to a ragged school, a grammar school, an apprenticeship, they were just brought up to stand on their own 2 feet, which women
weren't.
Can't
argue with that, can we?
And so basically the boys either had a good time of it if they were rich, a bad time of it if they weren't so rich. But again, they had to look after these helpless women. And I say helpless, not hopeless.
Yes.
Helpless because of the way women were brought up in those times. So it's different in that respect. It's not about what they did. Like if a woman did something, it was really, really special if it got mentioned. It's more about how they did it and why they did it. So in that respect, it's slightly different.
And what sort of characters have you picked on for this?
Again, some you know and some you don't know.
Yes.
I mean, some of the ones I've got here on the back of the book, because I can't quite remember everything I've written.
I've got explorers.
I've got doctors and diarists. I've got revenue men, smugglers, warlocks, wizards, felons and fugitives, men of science and vision, husbands, lovers and rogues. Sea dogs, martyrs, warriors, landowners, that sort of thing.
You've got the Brentwood martyr in there as well.
I've got William Hunter, yes, poor lad.
I think that it's just a horrendous.
He was. I've done all the martyrs, or the martyrs that, again, coming from Rayleigh, there is a big obelisk in the town, and a couple were actually sort of burnt very close by, some of these martyrs.
I didn't think so many people were burnt in the UK.
Yes.
I thought that most of them were hanged.
No, well, it was during Mary's reign, when she tried to drag England back to Catholicism, and she just went mad. She really pushed the boat out when it came to burning people. And poor William Hunter was only 19, and I think it was probably his idealism of youth that actually stopped him from. Well, probably again the strength of his conviction, but it just seemed when you get a bit older, you get a little bit more. Well, maybe I don't have to die. Really, I can maybe work it round a bit.
I mean, they offered him such.
They did.
They clearly didn't want to do it,
and I think it was quite sad.
Gone ahead with it. It just shows how brave he must have been.
Yes.
But having done all the research, did you find that you got close to some of the people? And if so, who in particular?
Yes, I suppose so. Let me see. I liked Daniel Defoe. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about him. I knew he wrote, and I did mention him in Essex Girls because I wrote about... who was the lady that he...
Who
was the lady that Defoe wrote about that I can't remember at this precise moment?
Don't ask me. Put me on the
spot. Flanders, yes, Moll Flanders. It's all right. Once you've written about somebody, you can't forget it.
You can't turn the tables on me.
No, you wrote about Moll Flanders, and he put her in Colchester to highlight the infanticide that was going on at the time. Mm-hmm. You sort of wrote that into the story as he was a pamphleteer.
Yeah.
But he himself, he did come to Essex. He lived in Essex for a while. He had two factories here. And I found he had quite an interesting life. He went bankrupt about 13 times, I think, on and off.
Stunned me.
Yeah, so yeah. I quite liked him. I loved Dick Turpin. I know he's very well known, but I found out lots about him. I have access to archives, the newspaper archives, and there were lots of reports.
Yes.
And I think he was a bit much maligned, although he wasn't a highwayman until the last year of his life. Up until then, he was into all sorts of, shenanigans.
Yes.
Yeah, shenanigans. I mean, one minute he sided with smugglers and smuggled, then he sided with revenue men and sort of went for the smugglers, so he didn't have a friend on either side.
Yes.
He went in with basically the Essex gang, latterly called the Gregory gang, because there were three Gregory brothers that ran it.
Right.
And so the last year of his life, when all the Gregory gang were basically gone and had been caught...
Yes.
He did his ride north in stages. It wasn't a mad dash.
Yes.
He went in stages and he ended up in York. Right. And the rest is history.
Okay, you mentioned from the boys' side. What about from the girls' side?
I liked Mary Boleyn, the sister of Anne. I mean, I know Anne is much more well-known, but Mary...
Yes.
Mary was like the forgotten sister, and we have Philippa Gregory's lovely book about her. And Rochford Hall, which is now a golf club, is very close to me in Rayleigh. I did a talk there, which was wonderful.
Yes.
And I just found out a lot about her life, and I think that her and Henry did have a good relationship while it lasted. He did actually look after her through her life from afar. He looked after her children.
Yes.
When it all went wrong and she retired back to Rochford Hall, her family had basically been decimated, he allowed her to sell it back to him, and then he gave her the proceeds. He looked after her. And so she's quite close to me, really.
Okay, good stuff. Now tell us, if you will, where can you get the books and what is the price?
Well, the price is $14.99 for both books. You can get it from...
But that's the autographed edition, isn't it? Can you do it?
Yes, you can get it. If you see me signing books somewhere else or you see me doing a talk, you can get it for $12.
Right.
It's a little concession. And sometimes bookshops will sort of knock the price down a little bit. But if you want a personalised message and a nice autographed message, you can get it from our website. All good bookshops, local bookshops, Amazon, WH Smiths,
Waterstone, the usual. Well, look, Karen, thanks very much indeed for coming in and telling us about these books. Now, I imagine that after all this, you might have earned a bit of a break, but have you got any other projects in the pipeline, apart from the books you've got in the loft?
Yes, I'm afraid I have. I thought I'd have a rest, but then I went and got myself another commission, and it's called Don't Laugh, Codpieces and Corsets. It's a working title at the moment, and it's about the outrageous fashion in the past and some of the stories connected to it, the fact that the crinoline era sparked off a nationwide shoplifting epidemic, and husbands would write up to the paper and say, you know, my daughters can't go out with men without being looked upon as thieves because they've got these huge skirts. And other men would write up and say to the government, no, please, can you stop this fashion because I can't afford it. I've got six daughters. I just can't afford it. So it's that sort of thing.
Oh, fascinating stuff.
Lovely research,
yeah. Well, look, good luck with that. Now, make sure that when you've written this that you do come back and talk to us again, won't you?
Oh, well, if I can get here with the traffic, yes, I will. I definitely come back.
Well, I don't think it shouldn't do that again. But thanks ever so much again. And I think, unfortunately, we've now got to come down to earth with a bump and take a look at this.